I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about deep soil. So we're going to get into our subject a little bit deeper maybe than we normally do. And I'm going to make a little point up front about people and us. And I noticed in my schedule here that I looked up, for instance, Buck Sanford, and I have no idea about anything about him anymore because they've taken out all the affiliations. So, you know, I was going to suggest that they might put that back in because that was always something that I like to see. In terms of soil, we know it is an important ecosystem pool and also something that can change with potentially global change or management. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about this guy, Brian Strom, in terms of people because I want to make an example of how, left button, okay, of how we don't always know everything about people by what we get, and now we don't know anything about them from the ASA schedule. But for instance, Brian has a number of affiliations, and during the time we were writing this, he changed from Cornell to Virginia Tech. So you have a few other possibilities to really understand a person that you have to look at. So if we look at, could somebody hit the lights? It's going to be a lot of washed out slides unless we get the lights off the front. But they're good slides otherwise. This is Brian in purpler times. It shows blue here, but it shows purple on my screen. And he's a product of a number of different things. So I was going to take the issue of how can we evaluate a person or a soil by looking at them very superficially. And if we look at Brian, he's from North Carolina, went to UW, did a postdoc at Cornell, and now is a professor at Virginia Tech. Oh, I'm going backwards here. And if we can look at it, a soil scientist in terms of the soils, that might give us an understanding about what somebody would be like. And if we look at the soils superficially, we wouldn't have an understanding either. So I created the Strom cycle here and talk about a little bit about Brian Strom. He's from North Carolina, and he has been around the country quite a bit, including work at University of Washington, at the FACE site, which he talked about in the last talk, in fact, going to Cornell, and ultimately wound up back at Virginia Tech. As the crow flies, about 100 miles from where he started, is what I see. So there's a lot more to the story there than just being at Virginia Tech right now. And just like that with soil, if we were to start looking at different people, I didn't get much material from Paul Footen, but I do know he's from West Virginia, so I could have put that on there. We could start to get a bit better picture of what people are like. And in terms of soils, we probably need to have an understanding of the whole soil, its history, and certainly everything that's there at any given time to really understand our soils too. And in particular, I've noticed in a number of the talks here, in some cases I actually have to ask, what soil depth did you sample to? Usually when you have to ask, it's pretty superficial. But there's often a lot of studies that are talking to claim about soil ecosystems at 15 to 20 centimeter depth. We definitely have some soils that's fine, but we have a lot of soils that is quite superficial. I like to use the example of our forest inventory and analysis, and this is straight off the website. FIA provides the information needed to assess America's forests. It's a pretty impressive statement, and one of the questions is whether or not they're actually doing that when the protocol includes soil sampling only down to 20 centimeters. So one of the questions would be, is 20 centimeters sufficient to assess America's forests? Can we continue to make those kinds of assumptions and ignore deep soil carbon or deep soils in general? It seems to me that there's a number of reasons why we might be having so many samples, including our national program, that sample and track soil superficially. And one of them, the most obvious, would be that in terms of ecosystems and responses, soil's not important. And of course, that's pretty funny. We can dispense with that pretty quickly. Here's some data from Lau et al. We've had a talk earlier from one of Ratan's colleagues. And we can see, for instance, that soil carbon, in terms of an ecosystem pool, and I believe most of these are down to a depth of a meter, soil carbon ranks about half. And in the case of a global total for our biomes, 71% of the carbon. This is down to a depth of about a meter. So we can very quickly say soil, we can reject the hypothesis that soil carbon is not important. So we can go a little further. Maybe deep soil carbon is not important. And it looks like we could define deep carbon as anything below 20 centimeters. So one of the things is anybody who's ever actually dug and sampled soil more profoundly typically finds that there's stuff down there. This is from Brazil, and these are eucalyptus root systems, badly cut off, particularly when we get below a meter or so. And I've been down in holes in the Amazon. I believe I heard something like on the order of some that were 12 meters deep. And although I didn't sample any, the researchers assured me that there was carbon down there and there were processes going on down there. They weren't happening at the rates they were in the surface, but it was happening. And that's a lot of material when you go down to 12 meters. We can actually see the root systems going down below to fairly deep depths in some cases. And there's other processes, including the movement of soluble organic matter in fine particle. For instance, here. And in fact, in many cases, we can't even see the material. This is a ultrasol from Louisiana, and we can see a bit of carbon in a surface probably previously plowed horizon here. We don't really see the color down here, but people who've sampled down in here, like Dan Richter and quite a few others, have actually found that this represents an enormous amount of material, and even with a lower concentration, can build a pretty good pool. So here's data, just a wonderful study that was put together by Jabari and Jackson from about 10 years ago, where they took 2,721 samples that had been sampled to a depth of 1 meter. Some of them they had to normalize to 20 centimeters to get this comparison. But if we consider a total of 100% over here, there's different biomes and a global average, which shows about 40% of the soil carbon is in the 0 to 20 centimeter, and about 60% of it is between 20 and 100 centimeters. And that's 2,721 samples, which seems pretty definitive. They also had samples that were taken down as deep as 3 meters. How many people have ever sampled the soil and analyzed it down to 3 meters? So just a handful, and I'm preaching to the choir here, right? So in this case, they found that between 100 and 300 centimeters, and obviously not all soils were that deep, but of the ones that were, that 100 to 300 centimeter increment exceeded the 0 to 20 centimeter pool. So there was more than triple the soil carbon that was in the 0 to 20 centimeter pool. So I was listening to some music, and I've heard this guy. And I really like the message that Ray Charles has for us about deep soil profiles. And it comes from that's where it's at, this. I was listening. Ray isn't always the easiest person to understand what he was saying, but I was thinking about deep soil carbon when I was listening to this song. And it goes kind of, yeah, 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 the lights are turned way down low, yeah, 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 oh yeah, that's where it's at. Soil carbon is way down low. And I'm sure that that was the words. And Ray, of course, has been blind since he was a child, but it seems that he really does get the message about, you know, deep soil carbon, that's where it's at. I also have some quotes here from some other famous people who really dig deep soils, including, I'm just gonna read Whitney and Zabowski, that's Nicole and Darlene, and they quoted in a Soil Science Society of America journal article, "The common practice of excluding the coarse soil and soil below 1 meter depth from analysis is challenged by the data presented in the study." That's a little less direct than I would say it, but this and many, many other studies where they've actually measured and quantified soil carbon finds that there are pools down there that are very important and will greatly increase air comparison of soil to plant material if we just actually bother to go measure that carbon. So deep soil carbon is also important. We have to reject the idea that it's not important because there's lots, thousands of studies that show that if you sample deeply, you'll find carbon down there. If your soils have that, not all soils do. I will also agree with that. The other thing we can say as a reason why we wouldn't sample deeply is, okay, there's soil carbon down there, but it doesn't change. Well, the very act of it getting there means it changed at least over some period of time, So we can reject that without even thinking much about it. But the question is whether it's going to change in the context of periods of time because of global change, or whether our management's going to affect it. So that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to really even focus on how it got there in the first place, but it is there. So these are the possible things that will affect deep soil carbon. And typically, they can all be broken down into a couple major things. Root growth and the death of roots and the deposition of material from roots. We can also think about the movement of material in soluble or very fine particulate form. And then we can also add, is Marty here, things like ants and termites and lots of other little bichos in Portuguese, animals and, you know, little soil animals and stuff that can perturb the soil. And in fact, award for outstanding performance that was given, oh gosh, who's the guy that made famous natural selection? Darwin! Darwin, I'm so thinking about his he was given an award with the Academy of Sciences based on his work on earthworms, not natural selection. So he recognized it too. Here's a diagram that's illustrative of the problem we have, I think, from Oak Ridge National Lab's SeaSite program. And basically, they weight the land area to the percentages and then come up with estimates of different ecosystems and where the carbon is. And globally, they estimate that there's 4 times more carbon in soil than is in plants. And there's a couple conclusions you can take from that. For instance, if we look at forest inventory analysis, I've heard from that the annual budget's something on the order of $80 million a year, and about $2 million goes to soil. That's a 40-to-1 ratio. Basically, you could say a 10% change in soil would be equal to a 40% change in vegetation, if you believe that data, and most studies show it to be true. And that shows that we should be concentrating on soil if we believe it can change. It's not widely recognized. Most effort, like in FIA, 40-to-1 ratios on soil carbon. Well, does soil carbon change deep in the profile? And there's a lot of papers that I read that say it doesn't, but unfortunately, they rarely ever look at it. They just make that assumption. Here's a 50-year study, for instance, on continuous corn, the only continuous corn, Amaro pits, where they looked at 2 different depths, 0 to 15, and then a 0 to 46 centimeter that included that 0 to 15. Fortunately, the people had the foresight 50 years ago to sample down to 46 centimeters, but they didn't sample deeper than that. And the net impact, I won't worry about the particular treatments, but everything on the average lost about 1 megagram of carbon per hectare over that 50-year period in the 0 to 15 centimeters. If we extend that to 46 centimeters, we wind up with 9 times as much carbon. What happened here is most all the change occurred below 15 centimeters, not within the surface, which means if they hadn't sampled this, they would have a tiny little picture of the story for the Morrow pits. We can extend that to other studies. In this case, Kahn also looked at the effect of depth in 48 sites across the US and Canada and found that the deeper you went, the bigger the impact of nitrogen fertilization. And in this case, a switchgrass study showed that you had to go below 20 centimeters to see any change at all due to the switchgrass and soil carbon. So soil carbon, deep soil carbon does change. And I have to say that the only reason I can come up with for us not sampling deeply is it's easier, it's cheaper. So if that's the deal, that's a pretty good reason, I guess. We can make conclusions, but the only one that is valid in terms of what we actually do seems to be, when we do sample superficially, seems to be it's easier and cheaper. However, it's also incomplete, misleading at worst, and even potentially, I won't go this far and I won't state it, but my encouragement is that if you are sampling soil, that you do understand when it might be deep and that you make an effort to sample deeply. Thank you.